Welcome to Torah Timach Hanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Hindi Mendelowitz. Today we study Sefer Shmuel Bet, Perek Chet, Chapter 8, which opens with Vayi Achrechen. Any chapter that will start with Achrechen will be linked to what came before. Vayach David es Plishtim. David here engages on offensive battles against the Plishtim, and as we'll see, other nations who are currently in Eretz Yisrael. To explain, it has been made clear to David in the previous perek that where he dreamed of being the king who would build the Beit HaBchira, that was denied to him and instead promised to his son who was yet to be born. It was made clear to David that one of the reasons he could not build the Beit HaMikdash was because of the blood on his hands from fighting the wars of Klal Yisrael. Again, this is not a flaw. This was his role. That role was not complementary with the role of peace that the Beit HaMikdash symbolized or represented. And as such, David could not reconcile these two and be the warrior king and also the king who would build the Beit HaBchira, the place of peace between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But as such, it is now clear to David what his tafkid is. His tafkid is to again wage those battles to subdue the enemies of Klal Yisrael in preparation for the age of peace that is to come. It is not the case that David is the king of war and Shlomo will be the king of peace. They are not opposite ends of the pole. Rather, there's one destination with two stops on the way. The tremendous era of peace that's been promised for the days and the rulership of Shlomo cannot be achieved, will not be possible, without the enemies who still reside in Eretz Yisrael being subdued or eradicated from that place. It's the war that will lead to the peace. And so David understands that his role will be to wage the battles of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, which will clear the way and make possible the era of peace that is yet to come. Rav Yitzchak Isaac Sher brings a beautiful yesod, where he asks what really is the purpose for which war exists in this world. And he points out that where in this world generally, change evolves slowly over time, war is the mechanism which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put into creation to speed change, to make things happen on the world stage much more quickly than they would under peaceful conditions, which is why governments or civilizations can shift in a relatively short amount of time, which is where the centers of Jewish scholarship can move radically in a relatively short amount of time when precipitated by war. Of course, he applies that to the personal battles we wage, where in our own lives, generally, change or refinement is slow, is gradual over time. Then there are the times of battle, not necessarily physically with weapons, but sometimes in the deepest part of our own souls, where we battle a challenge, where we fight a good fight, and we turn around when the dust settles and see that through the battle we fought in our own lives, we've jumped levels. We've changed who we are in a dramatic or radical way, beautifully so, hopefully, in a way that could not have been accomplished in the regular, slow, peaceful process. David here, with an understanding of his role, until now has fought defensive battles, has protected Klal Yisrael against those who came to attack them. Understanding his role to be the warrior king in preparation for the shalom, for the peace that will come in the next generation, David now sets out on offensive battles. David goes out to conquer the nations who still linger in Eretz Yisrael, who have not been eradicated since the days of Yehoshua, when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael. He has a vision of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael that were promised to Avraham Avinu in the Brit Bein HaBsarim. And as such, these are boundaries that have never yet been realized, not in the days of Yahushua and not in the centuries since. David seeks now to expand the boundaries of Klal Yisrael, of Eretz Yisrael itself, in fulfillment in trying to reach those very broad boundaries that were promised to Avraham Avinu. And as such, the first step is Vayach David es Plishtim. He attacked the Plishtim, Vayach Ni'em, and subdued them. Vayikach David es Mesag Ha'ama min HaPlishtim. Mesag Ha'ama is taken figuratively by most of the Mefarshim to refer to the stirrup that is used to control or guide an animal. In Devre Hayamim, in the parallel explanation, this is brought as David conquering the city of Gas with all of its surrounding satellite cities. There were five prominent cities of the Plishtim. Only the city of Gat was said to have a king, and so it was considered the stirrup or the controller of all the other cities. David now subdued it here. Pasuk Bet, Vayaches Moav. David then went to attack Moav, which is surprising, because Klal Yisrael generally did not initiate battle with Moav, as had been commanded previously. But the background here is brought by Rashi, where they actually had initiated a war. Tragically, and this is just another in the chapters of the losses and betrayals that are the hallmarks of the life of David HaMelech, when he was running away from Shaul, David sought to protect his family. And so he took his father, his mother, and other of his family, and of his siblings, and brought them to his distant cousin, who was the king of Moab. Let's recall, David is descended from Rut HaMoaviah, and so the king of Moab was distantly related to him. Thinking they would be safe there, David put his mother, father, and brothers with the king of Moab. Tragically, he was betrayed by this family member, and the king of Moab murdered the father, the mother, the brothers of David HaMelech. As such, David is within his rights now to retaliate with a battle against the king of Moab. And there seems to be much depth, not necessarily that we'll come to, but deeper levels of what's going on here in this battle that has layers and layers. Because this is not regular warfare. Vayimadidim b'chevel, hashkev osam otza, vayimadid shnei chavalim lehamis, umlo hachevel lehachayos. David actually measured out the people of Moab with a length of cord, of rope. Every two lengths of cord, as he laid them on the ground, every two lengths of cord would be the ones who would be killed, with one length of cord measuring out the people who would survive from Moab. So two-thirds of Moab was killed out in this way, while one-third was allowed to remain and to survive. Clearly, this is, as we said, unusual, and there are some of the Mephoshim who take this to the deeper level, again, not within our time frame to explore. The Zohar does point out that this is David, with his Ruach HaKodesh, was able to see those who descended from the Moavim. Again, Balak Melech Moav had hired Bil'am to attack Chevel, the Goral of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beruach Kadsho, David saw which of the present-day Moavim were descended from those who had been part of the diabolical plot of Balak in hiring Bil'am, and he killed those two-thirds who had harmed the previous generation in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Those who remained, the one-third, Vati Moav leDavid leAvadim nosei mincha. The one-third who remained were now vassals to David and had to pay him a tribute. Vayach David es Hadad Ezel ben Rechov Melech Tzova, velechto lehashiv yado binahar Pras. Hadad El ben Rechov was the king of Tzova, who tried actually to annex an area that was already part of Eretz Yisrael. In retaliation, David went and attacked him, and then Vayikod David mimenu, 1,700 parashim, ve'esrim 1,000 ish ragli, vayeaker David eskal rechev, vayoser mimenu mea rechev. David, in retaliating for this effort of Hadad Ezer to encroach on the territory of Eretz Yisrael, actually captured from him 1,700 chariots, 20,000 foot soldiers. And once he had amassed this tremendous bounty from the war, we see that David went forward, vayeakel. He removed the ikar of the sus. He in some way handicapped the horses he had captured, according to Rashi, so as not to transgress the injunction upon the king, lo yalbelo susim, brought in Sefer Dvarim, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tet Zayin. The command that a king could not amass too many horses, David here is careful to avoid that. According to the Ramban, David is taking care to make sure that the emuna balance remains intact within Klal Yisrael. In those days, parashim, chariots drawn by horses, were the most advanced weaponry or warfare that existed. David did not want Klal Yisrael to become blown up or haughty or overconfident in their dependence on the chariots that had been captured in war. He wanted them to continue to place their trust only in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as such, he handicapped these horses so they would not become the source of complacency or of misplaced trust for Klal Yisrael in advanced weaponry or warfare. Pasukei, Vatava Aram Damesek, Lazol Hadad El Melech Tova, the king of Damesek, what we call modern-day Damascus, what today is part of Syria, arrived to help his ally, Hadadezer, Vayach David Ba'aram Esum Shnaim Elef Ish, and David wiped out from Aram Esrim Ushnaim Elef, 22,000 soldiers. Vayasem David Nitzivim Ba'aram Damesek, David placed guards in Aram Damesek, Vati Aram le David la Avadim, and Aram too became vassals to David, Nosei Mincha, paying tribute. Vayosha Hashem es David b'chol asher halach. And with this attack or conquest of Damesek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving to David tremendous hatzlacha. We find here that David actually went further in conquering territory that had never even belonged to Eretz Yisrael, up until within modern-day Syria. Now, he did this without the agreement or without the formal process of the Sanhedrin, whereby this never became what we would call a kivush rabim, but rather it was a kivush yachid, and as such, this territory conquered by David up till Damesek was never considered halachically part of Eretz Yisrael for the purpose of the mitzvot hatluyot ba'aretz. But it is territory that he conquered. Pasuk Zayin, Vayikar David es shelte hazahav asher hayu el avdei hadad azer vayivieim Yerushalayim. David took the shields of gold that had been on the servants of Hadad Azel and brought them to Yerushalayim to use them as the investment or the funds that would be devoted to the building of the Beit HaMikdash in the days of his son. Umibetach umibirosai are Hadad Azel lakach ha-melech David nechoshes al bei me'od. He captured all so much copper from the cities of Hadad Azel. Pasuk Tet, Vayishma To'i melech Hamas, ki hika David es kol chel Hadad Azel. To'i melech Hamas was another king who was an enemy of Hadad Azel. Hearing that David conquered this king, Hadad Azel, To'i now sends messengers. Vayishlach To'i es Yoram bno, sent his son Yoram to David, lish'alo lishalom, to seek out peace, ulevarcho, ala shonilcham b'Hadad Azel, to bless him for having fought Hadad Azel, vayakehu, and having conquered Hadad Azel, because as the Pasuk explains, Hadad Azel and To'i had been enemies. This To'i also sends gifts to David, which in Pasuk Aleph we find, Gam Osam, Hikdish HaMelech David LaShem. Of all the tremendous wealth amassed by David in these numerous conquests, all of this wealth was sanctified and was dedicated to the future building of the Beit HaMikdash. Pasuk Yud Bet, Me'aram u'mimoav u'mibni Amon u'miplishtim u'mi'amalek u'mishlal Hadad Ezer ben Rechov Melech Tzova. From all of these nations, David conquered, amassed wealth, and dedicated and consecrated this wealth to the building of the Beit HaMikdash. Vaya'as David Shem. David became renowned for the elevated path he took in burying the casualties of his enemies on the battleground. And this became a tremendous Kiddush Hashem for the army of David and the upper ethical values that they held to, where they buried all of the casualties of their enemies. Vayasem pasuk yudalet be'edom netzivim, b'chol edom sam netzivim, v'yichol edom avadim le'david. Edom too was a nation that was subdued by David. Vayosha Hashem es David b'chol asher halach. And David enjoyed tremendous success, siyata dishmaya, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all that he did. Vayimloch David al kal Yisrael. David now had undisputed, unanimously accepted rule on all of Klal Yisrael. Vahi David oseh mishpat utzdaka lechal amo. David engaged in mishpat according to the Ralbag, what is obligated according to the strict letter of the law, but even further in staka, whatever would be demanded or required beyond the letter of the law by a higher moral calling. The question is how one delivers both. And in Sanhedrin Daf Vav Amud Bet, we find that once David won these wars, he retreated from the battleground, as we'll see in the next pasuk, and was primarily occupied in the other function of the king, which was to dispense mishpat, to judge disputes. David would act with mishpat. In judging any dispute, he would determine who was right and who was wrong, and who owed penalties to whom. But if the person who was found liable could not pay, after accepting the mishpat, David would then extend to him tzedakah. He would give him money from his own personal funds to pay to uphold mishpat. A beautiful model of a basis of mishpat which cannot be tampered with, but then an overlay of tzedakah to enable people to live up to that standard. Pasuk Tetzayin, V'yoav ben Tzruya al hatzava, Yehoshaphat ben Achilud Mazgil. We find that Yoav is appointed here to the Tzava, as we just mentioned. David Ose Mishpat and Yoav al HaTzava. There was a very beautiful symbiotic partnership for the benefit of David and of Yoav, and for the greater benefit of Klal Yisrael. Where at this point, David retreated to the Beit Midrash, to the Beit Mishpat. Yoav was the one who was actively waging war, and each one enabled the other. Because Yoav was active on the battlefield, that freed David to pursue Mishpat and to pursue Torah. Because David was devoting himself to Mishpat Hashem on a Ruchniut level, that gave to Yoav success in the physical battlefield. A tremendous partnership. We continue in Pasuk Tetzayin, V'Yehoshaphat ben Achilud Mazkil. Yehoshaphat ben Achilud is a kind of secretary, either to record the records of these dinim that would come before David, or to record the Divrei Hayamim for posterity. V'Tzadok ben Achituv, Achimelech ben Evyasal Kohanim, and these are the ones who are the Kohanim. U'Sraya Sofer, Sraya had the position of Sofer, of the scribe for the king. Uvnayahu ben Yehoyada, v'akresi v'aplesi, uvnei David, kohanim hayu. Kohanim here means not in the spiritual sense of priests in the Beit HaMikdash, but kohanim are officers to David. The kresi and the plesi, according to the Metzudot, are archers, quoting the Targum. According to Rashi, this refers to the Urim v'tumim, and according to Chazal and Brachot, this is the Sanhedrin, where we find David has assembled an inner circle of tremendously talented, tremendously righteous, tremendously dedicated people who will uphold the values upon which his malchut is being built. Sefer Shmuel Bet is sponsored by Hilton and Leah Lightman, Lila Yishmot, their parents, Shmuel ben David, Chana bat Yaakov Chaim, Kolonimus ben Chaim, and Saratema bat Menachem Mendel.